That's my own notes up there. Good night. All right. Good morning, New Harvest. How are you this morning? I know we are considered a traditional church, and maybe some of you, I understand, come from an Orthodox background. And today, what is today? Can you tell me? It's Pentecost, celebration of Pentecost, which is a celebration of the birthday of the church. Nobody knows exactly how many years that is, but we know it's over 2,000 years. So happy birthday, church. God bless you. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We're going to start a series of messages today, a faith journey, and to build our faith. We're going to talk about today the battles that we face in this world and stepping out to Jericho. Every one of you have foes that you have to face each week. I heard about several of them this morning as I talked to you. But today is a time to prepare for what God has ahead. It's not time to quit. It's time to prepare for the future. So let's look at Joshua 3, and I want to talk to you about some foes in your life. And Joshua is getting ready to lead the people to the new land, a new place of worship. And Moses is dead. And they've been led by God to a brand new land of promise. If you remember the transfiguration message a few weeks ago and how Moses, you know, he got to go up on the mountain with God and showed him the promised land, and he could see Jericho, but he didn't get to go in. But he finally got there, didn't he? He got there at the transfiguration into the promised land. And God is saying to Joshua what he wants to say to you this morning. You're battling some foes in your life. This is not about Joshua today, but it's about you. And it's about glorifying God in the world that lives in the crisis that we're in today. Joshua chapter 3, if you would stand with me if you're able, we're going to read these first seven verses of chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass that after 3 days the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto." And Joshua said unto them, the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I am with Moses, so I will be with thee." The Lord bless his message. Let's pray together. Holy Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts this morning, in this hour, that we would renew a right spirit within us and show us your glory and your power and your might, so we can face whatever is ahead of us in the days and weeks and months ahead, that we will walk in faith, knowing that you are our mighty God. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Joshua had his foes. And fact, he had 31 kings that he had to face. All of you this morning, you have those foes. Like I said, I heard about some of them this morning as I spoke with you. Chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, "He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgahites, the Amorites, and finally the Jebusites." If you went to Joshua chapter 12 and verses 10 through 24, get home, you can look at them. The word lists there 31 kings. Verse 7 says this, "And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel conquered on the west side of the Jordan." 31 foes. God says, "Joshua, be strong." In chapter 3, verse 7, God says, that we just read, it says, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they might know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you." God says this morning, the New Harvest Church, He will be with you. He'll not forsake you. Listen, all of us are battling foes. There's a great opportunity in this land of promise, in this land of victory. And every true leader that has fought the good fight will tell you, when you face your foe, there's two things on either side of you. You are flanked by obstacles, and you're flanked by opposition. And right in between those obstacles and those opposition is the word obedience. God honors obedience. There's a foe, and that foe wants to hinder you. There's a foe that wants to harm you, but there's a king that wants to bless you this morning. Joshua chapter 11, verse 18 says, "Let this sink into your hearts." Here it is. It says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings and all those foes. You said, I thought you said he gave him victory. He did give him victory. He said, don't be afraid of them. But almost every day of the year, Joshua faced his foes. But see, you don't have to be afraid when God is on your side. Amen? God is with you this morning. Basically, three foes in Joshua 3, we see the foe, number one, of difficulty. They came to the Jordan River and they had to cross over. And it was a great difficulty facing them. Look at Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 15. "And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, from the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest." Now, when you think about it here, we had 2.5, the estimation is it was close to 2.5 million people there. Can you get the picture? You're coming up to a small river, but it's the time of year that the banks are overflowing. And I looked up as many things as I could find this week to find out how big that was. But the best estimates were that it was about 100 feet across, and it was at least 10 feet deep at this time, because when the harvest came and the rains were flowing, and it says it was much water flowing, and it was like rapids going before them. And although there's all these many 2.5 million people, and they're looking and they're saying, how are we going to get across this river? It's incredible difficulty for the nation of Israel. You face some difficulties, many of you. They told me, even before this service, even this week. It may be your grandchildren, your kids that you're worrying about, your future, the future of your children with all that's going on in the world that we live in. It could be a marriage situation. But the waters of difficulties always stand before the land of opportunity. And let that sink in. The waters of difficulty always stand between you and the land of opportunity. And look at chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over." As we read before in verses 1 through 5, the Holy Spirit uses two words to describe the children of Israel crossing over Jordan. Two different words. And the first word was the word nasi, N-A-S-I. And it means to set out. It means you are going on a journey and you can't go back. You're sealed. Do you know the day that you gave your heart to Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says that you were sealed. And verse 14 says, which is the down payment of your inheritance. When you gave your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit sealed you. Sealed your heart for Him. And you're always His. That was a true experience. It never ends. And you went on a nazi. And you began a journey. And there's no turning back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, if you be in Christ, everything is new. And you're a new creation. And old things are passed away. And all things become new. And you can't go back. You must step on and move out. And that's what he's saying here. See, New Harvest Church began a journey 10 years ago, right? 10 plus years. Not 11 yet, right? Or am I wrong? I don't know for sure. But about 10 years ago, and there's no turning back. Heading into the land of the unknown every day. And there are personal battles and corporate battles and spiritual battles because we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we must believe God is who He says He is. That He can do whatever He wants to do. And He will do His will for us. Joshua knew that they could not go back. They had a nazi. They had begun a nazi, a journey that you have no turning back. And they stepped out in faith. And the second word is in verse 5 and 6 there. It says it doesn't mean to step out. It means to step over. Look at verse 5. He tells them, to sanctify yourselves, for to tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. Pray for God to give you a clean heart. This means is God is going to do extraordinary things in your life. And you can't just do business as usual. You better have a clean heart. And you better start walking close to God. And God's warning to some of us this morning, this is that we have battles ahead of us. And the stakes are high. Some of us are grandchildren, our children. You think about the future. Every time I start to talk to somebody about the future, they tell me, I can handle it, but oh, my kids, my grandkids, my kids, they've got to face this. And the stakes are high. You can't keep living like you are now. You must set yourself apart and you must sanctify yourself. And God will do wonders. And Joshua spoke to the priests saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. And here's the word abar, A-B-A-R. It means to cross over. And it's not just going from point A to point B. It's crossing over before the people. It means you're not just stepping in, you're stepping over. You're going to a place that you've never been before. In verse 4, look, it says, he told them, you have never, ever been this way before. New Harvest, guess what? You've never been here before. There's newness ahead of you. In areas that you have never walked before. And God is saying, it's the foe of difficulty, and the waters are raging. And I know you think you're going under. Some of you felt like that this morning. I could see it on your faces. You're telling me about some things that were coming up in your life and the things you were facing. And I could tell on your face you felt a little like you might be going under. But I know in your heart of hearts you know that the God of this universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will see you through. Amen? The waters of difficulty always stand in front of the land of opportunity. Then he said this, this is a new plan, and this is a new commitment, and this is a new conflict, and you haven't fought here before. God has a new plan. He's preparing a new pastor for this church. Did you know that? Have you been praying for him every day? Have you been praying for the team to find the right man, the man that is a man of God? Look at verse 3. He says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord God, what is that ark? The ark was a rectangular wooden box. And inside it was Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod, a piece of dead wood. Guess what? It had budded and bloomed. A dead piece of wood came to life. And there was a jar of manna from the wilderness, and the God had sent them every day but the Sabbath so that they could eat, and he supernaturally fed them and provided for them. And there were the Ten Commandments on tablets. And that ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I want you to follow this ark. I want you to understand God's promise and God's protection and Aaron's rod and God's provision. And that's the manna. I have protected you. I have provided for you. I promise I will go before you, church. New Harvest, I will go before you. Does that help? God is going before you. And he better go before you. And we must follow him. You have to believe God is who he said he is. And he's able to do what he said he would do. And he says not only the waters of difficulty stand before the land of opportunity, but secondly, when you're facing the unknown, you better follow the known. When you're facing the unknown, you better follow the known. And listen, we are living in days right now that we have never lived in before. AI, artificial intelligence. You get that artificial intelligence. And one of the smartest men on this earth, he said he's more afraid of this than he is of the nuclear bombs. He said, this is scary. It's a new day in America. And we have never been here before. We better lock in who has been there. And what he's saying is this: God is with you. And Joshua tells the people, when the ark gets to the water's edge, follow the priest because God is there. Joshua chapter 3 verse 17, you know what the turner verse is, this: now the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. That's they experienced a little bit of that before they got there, didn't they? God is the known Father. He is he who he said he is. And when you are facing an unknown future, you're to follow the known Father. He introduces himself in three ways. And look in verse 3. And he says, he is the Lord God, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord God. And here God means the government of God. It means he is the governor. He's the creator. He's the controller. He's the sovereign. And everything in my life happens for a purpose. And the God and the Lord God is in charge. Aren't you glad this morning? With all that's going on in the world, that he's in charge. You know what? The globalists think they're in charge. The things I hear, I can't believe. And many of them are not true anyway. But second, he is the Lord God. In verse 10, it says, he's the living God. It's interesting, he describes himself as the living God among you. It means he is aware. God sees everything. He's aware of everything you do. He's able, he's alive. God is not dead, and you can believe in him, and he never changes. You can follow him. And he's the Lord God, he's the living God, he's a loving God. And you can always follow me. For I have given covenant to you. He's made a covenant with us. About 10 times after this, he uses the word covenant of God. covenant of the Lord. You know what that means? That's a promise. You know what? We know the study of the covenant. You know what happened when God took Abraham out and he walked him out and they had him cut the calf in half. And he said, let's walk through here. And by walking through here, what we're saying is, if I don't keep this, I'm going to do, this is what I want done to myself. That's how strong the covenant is. It's a blood covenant. God says, I know what you're going through. I know what you're battling for. And you asked me to come into your life. You asked me to become your Savior. You not only brought me into your body, but into your heart. You brought me into your battles as well. I'm committed to you and I'm obligated to you and I will protect you and provide for you and I will bind myself to you. And you can believe I am who I say I am. And I can do what I say I can do. And Joshua says, we aren't going into this battle alone. And we have never been here before and we're walking into some battles of difficulty and the unknown and we better follow the known. And then he says, the most fearful times can be the most fruitful times. Look at verse 15. It was a time of harvest. You may be scared of death, but spiritually it can be the best time of your life. Your family, mom, dad, grandparents, see something in you. Maybe your grandkids can see something in you that they've never seen before. Granddad, does your grandkids ever seen you pray? Ever seen you in the Word of God, reading the Word of God? Has your grandchildren or your children ever seen you cry? But you need to believe God. And it can be the most fruitful time in your family and in your life. The most fearful times can be the most fruitful times. And it's the time of the harvest. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 16. That the priest started walking in verse 16 and that the waters which came down from upstream, I want you to picture this, 15 miles upstream was a town called Adam. See, this is where it all started. Adam. We all got into this mess because of Adam. He blamed it on Eve. The word Dan of Jordan means judgment. And the ark is the picture of Jesus. The ark enters the Jordan. Where did Jesus get baptized? In the Jordan. Because he took our judgment. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus Christ took our judgment. He took our sin. One of the ways you know that you're following Jesus is that he has full reign in your life and is that you are willing to be baptized into Christ's church, in Christ's body. He has taken my judgment. I'm demonstrating his death, burial, and resurrection when I get baptized. It's not the physical baptism. It's the baptism of the heart that takes place when you accept Christ into your life, into your heart. And all the way back to Adam, 15 miles. Let me ask you, have you any rivers in front of you tonight, today? That look impossible to cross? This was impossible. I mean, this is raging waters. Can you imagine 2.5 million people sitting back looking and wondering what's going to happen. And they were fearful. But Joshua said, listen, let's follow the ark. And Jesus is the ark of safety. And you must believe in him and make him number one in your life and reverence him, for he is God. As soon as the ark got there, the waters dried up for 15 miles. God held the waters up. Remember verse 17, and all the raging water and the priest stood on dry ground. And third, go if you would to chapter 5. You turn to chapter 5. The second foe and the second king in our life is not the king of difficulty, but it's the king of opportunity. Look at verse 1. And the Bible says that when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan, it says their hearts melted and there was no spirit left in them. See, the word got out. Things like this happen, the word kind of gets out. I mean, 2.5 million people, that's a crowd passing my door. 2.5 million people. Man, they're more afraid of you and you are of them. And all of a sudden, Joshua has another battle. See, the enemy is very aware of us. And look at verse 13. And Joshua's on a reconnaissance mission and he knows he has a lot of foes and kings to conquer. And the first battle is the battle of Jericho. And it's the fortified walls. It's these high walls. That was not the water battle. It was the wall battle. It's not when the water is going over your head. This is when your back is against the wall. And you don't know what to do. Have you been there? Sure you have. The wall was staring right at you. Some of you, this week, I heard some stories. This week there's a wall. It's called Jericho. Look at verse 13. In Joshua 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, a man, capital M, and Jesus doesn't just appear in Matthew. He appears all the way through to Genesis, to Revelation. And in Exodus chapter 3, it says, he is the captain of the Lord's host. And here most theologians believe this is a Christophany where Christ appears. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshipped and he said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Jesus didn't come to take sides. Jesus came to take over. In verse 15, Jesus says, take your shoes off. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. I am the I am. See, Jesus wasn't just born in Bethlehem. He was physically as the God-man, but as God, he was always before the foundation of the earth. So what's the principle here? The principle is this. When you have a wall that you're staring at and you think it's the greatest battle in your life, but you know what I've noticed? Some of you this morning, I watched some of you and some of you didn't sing. See, the wall has robbed your song, robbed your joy. Listen, your greatest battle is not the wall. Your greatest battle is the will of God. Your battle is not Jericho. Your battle is Jesus. And while you're looking at your wall, Jesus is looking at you. And here's what he wants to know. Does surrender come before service? Does surrender come before service? Does lordship come before leadership? I hope and pray that your new pastor you get has Jesus as his Lord, not just his Savior. What are you looking at? He tells Joshua two things in this chapter, and I give them to you quickly as we close. And the first one is, who is in charge of your life? When you read chapter 5, you discover that he tells the children of Israel two things. He tells them, you have to circumcise all the males. He goes back 40 years and gives them a lesson on purity. They hadn't been following for these ceremonies for 40 years as they've traveled. Second, he says, I want you to keep the feast of the Passover. One was a private ceremony and the other was a public ceremony. One had to do with flesh and the other had to do with faith. To keep the feast of the Passover, what did that mean? God had fed them in the wilderness supernaturally with manna from the sky day after day, except for Sundays. Joshua 5:11 said, "And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after Passover." See, things are changing. And they're in the promised land. And they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and parched grain. And on that same day, then the manna ceased on the day after. What's that mean? It means this. It has to be new. You can't have old manna. New Harvest Church, you can't live on the past. We're headed to the future. I saw, that was 2 weeks ago, that we got a report on the building. It was a good report. I was really blessed because I'd just been involved in a little situation with another church about a piece of land, and they were trying to build a building. And when they got to the part about getting into the egress, getting into the land, the state told them it was $2.1 million to make the two turnoffs. Turn off this way, turn off. You had to have them. Two more lanes they had to add. They had the money to get the building started. But man, that put a stop on everything. So when I heard that 2 weeks ago, I thought, praise the Lord. God's got his hand in this. God's got his hand in this. Well, it hasn't happened, but they said it looks good. That's when the government says it looks good. Be careful, but it looks good. See, Jericho is not Jesus' problem. You are Jesus' problem. He can take care of Jericho. He wants to know who's in charge. Every parent needs to know, make sure that his children knows who's in charge. You know that? You've been through that? You can establish some ground rules, like, real quick, I'm in charge. I may not win every battle, but I'm in charge, and you need to understand that. What are you doing? You're establishing who's in charge. And God says to Joshua, you are going to go through a lot of battles in your life, and you have to be willing to cut away the flesh to keep the feast. Watch this. Who's in charge? The second question is this. What about change? Do you know growth brings change? And change is here, New Harvest. Things are going to change. You build a building. God's got some plans. Guess what? Guess what you have to do? Follow the plan. Joshua, you no longer will pick manna up from the ground. You're going to have to work for it in the field. There's going to be a change in your life. And he's always changing people. Do you know that's our great hope? God changes hearts. We were talking as we drove up here today about a young man that was in rehab, as my daughter knows, and we've been praying for him, and he relapsed today. But you know, God changes hearts. And that young man doesn't know it, but his hope is Jesus. You're going to change when you lose a family member. It's a change. When you lose your job, it's a change. When you move, it's a change. Got that back there? Moving's a change, right? We're going to miss you big time. Let me tell you what doesn't change. Jesus Christ never changes. What about Christ? Where is Christ when it comes to victory? The commander of the Lord's army is trying to tell Joshua, quit looking at Jericho and look at me. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning. He says, quit looking at Jericho and look at me. Quit looking at your bank account. Look at me. Quit looking at your doctor and the news and look at me. And quit looking at the world. Look at me. And quit looking at this temporary pastor. Look at me. Joshua, take your shoes off. I'm in charge. And you're standing on holy ground. How could he say it was holy? Because everywhere that Jesus' feet goes, it's holy. Invite the King of Kings into your battle this week. And that's all I got to say. Invite him in. We're going to sing, "Tis So Sweet." Musician, come, please. "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." I'm so glad today I'm not trusting in the government. In the bank. Do you know the banks are in trouble a little? Don't worry about it. Jesus got in control. Hope you got a little silver stuck in your closet. We live in some amazing times. And I think it's going to take all the faith that the Lord will give us. Amen.